Today on Real Radio.
Then how much more will your Father in heaven, who loves you and who's listening at all times, answer you? And he'll do it. He will always give an answer.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at Matthew chapter 13, which records a lot of these parables and explains also what parables are, as well as their audience and their intent. Now this time, we're also going to look at Luke chapter 11, where we read of another of these analogies, if you will, which is also a challenge to the listener, by the way, that speaks of persistence. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called The Parable of Persistent Prayer.
Persistent prayer. In this case, it's first century Israel, and that's how it looks. In your own life, in your own mind, set it up for you. Maybe it's different for you. Maybe it's different between you and I. But the guy is basically saying, come on, man, it's going to cost me so much to get up to answer your prayer, your request. It's midnight. My kids are in bed. My wife, everybody's tucked in. Come on. If you can go to your neighbor at midnight and knock on his door, and the issue is keep knocking, because there's a little bit of leverage, and I'm getting ahead of the game here, but it's kind of fun to keep in mind. If you keep knocking, he has to get up. You want to know why? In the Middle East, hospitality is number one. If you've ever been to the Middle East, it is amazing. Strangers will take care of you. It's remarkable. It's crazy. We were in Jordan one time on some crazy, a bit lonely road somewhere, and we thought we were going to die. We finally came to this, what looked like a gas station. And this guy comes out, totally wrapped up in Taliban-looking stuff. I thought it was the end of us. The guy almost broke his neck to give us Turkish coffee. Come here. How much is it? No. And I was with Amir, and Amir said, listen, you can't do that. You offer him money to fend the guy. Stay tonight. No, really, we have to go. No, stay tonight. This culture, if you don't show forth hospitality, it brings a very bad name upon your home, your family name, and your village. People congregated together in housing. Not like us. We try to, you know, get a far away, build a wall, a fence around. Not them. They depended upon their neighbors. So if somebody's knocking on the door, the last thing you want is say, hey, come on, get out of here. The guy's probably going, get out of here. Can you just leave, please? Shh. The guy's knocking. You don't want your neighbors to look at your house and say, oh man, what a bum. He's not letting that guy in. Well, curse that family. Think of it. So there's a lot at stake here. The guy is, the visitor that is, the guy who needs the bread, he is comes believing. He knows the culture. The answer will come inevitably. Are you getting this for yourself? So knock. And Jesus is saying, if a person who's a human is put out, and yet his culture requires him to give, and eventually he's gonna get up and give, then God is not like that. God will give without you having to beat the door down. It's a contrast. Now your mind, and it should raise this question. Well, wait a minute. Are you saying I just pray once and then leave? I didn't say that. Don't I do persistent prayer? Don't I stay at persistent? Yes, you do. But Jesus is contrasting from the lesser to the greater, from human response to God response. One is obligation. One is grace. God is willing to answer. Here's what your problem and my problem is. Think of it. The moment I said God is willing to answer, you might come back and say, well, then why didn't he answer me about this thing and that thing? Ah, I betcha he answered you. You didn't like the answer. I'm convinced God answers us almost always. I think God answers always inevitably. But we often miss the answer because it's not the answer we wanted. It's important. In life, this is life. And so contrast these things. The ability of a friend to help. Church, listen, isn't it limited? Your friend is limited to help you. He's a human, but not God. Okay, contrast. The hour of visitation is limited. It's midnight. Dear friend, have you ever cried out to God in the night? Has he not been there? In fact, doesn't it seem like he speaks louder at night? The scope of grace between one another, isn't that limited? You and I can only show one another so much grace because we're humans. Is God's grace limited? No way. A parable of contrast, the association of friendship has limitations. But God is not limited. In fact, he invites us to a sonship or a daughtership. A family. The capacity of humans to supply is limited. There's nothing about God limited. It's a contrast. Prayer is to be an ongoing conversation for us as believers. We know this. You might say, well, wake me up when this study is over. I know all this stuff. But before you fall asleep, let me ask you something. Why do we not pray more then? If we already know all this stuff, why do we not pray more? I think we don't pray often enough because I think we're too self-dependent, too self-reliant upon our own resources. I'm just speaking for me then. I'm thinking, what do I need to pray about this for? You know, I've done this 1,000 times. I can go do there, and I can get these shoes on. I can really do it. I think God wants us to be in the activity of prayer about everything, because if we knew the truth, we are incapable of accomplishing anything at all. Matthew chapter 6. Mark it down if you would, or turn there if you're quick. Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father. Wow. Two times in one verse, he says Father, which was unheard of in the Old Testament. Who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. I hope you don't pray from a prayer book. That's what he's referring to. He wants it to come from your heart. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going home tonight to your husband or to your wife? Hey, dear sweetie, I love you. You drive me crazy. I'm mad over you, and you're just the best thing that's ever happened to me. Thank you. Could you imagine? Isn't that weird? Can you imagine going to God? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. God says, just keep it, will you? Who are you talking to? What? I've heard you say that 20 times a day. God is listening. He's real. He's a person. What have we reduced him to? The second thing is this, persistent prayer in the face of fear. In the face of fear. This is kind of cool. Watch verse 7. And he will answer from within. This voice comes from within the house. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Jesus is saying, listen, this is what's not going to happen when you cry out to my Father. You may get this response from a human, But you're not going to get this from my father. Can you imagine, honestly, in fact, let me be kind of wild about this. The Bible, from cover to cover, pleads with, God is pleading with us to talk to him. Over and over again, he says, call out to me, right? Come to me. Over and over again. Nowhere does he say, don't talk to me. I'm busy. I'm in heaven up here running the universe. Don't bother me. Not once. But don't you sometimes feel like that? And yet the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Do you see what Jesus is teaching? We've been conditioned to think, well, you know, I don't know. Jesus is saying, look, you know this in life. If you go to your neighbor and you're being persistent with your neighbor about getting a loaf of bread, and you know eventually he's going to give it to you, even if it's just to save face in the, you know, cul-de-sac or in your village, he's going to do it. If that guy will do it, then how much more will your Father in heaven, who loves you and who's listening at all times, answer you? And he'll do it. He will always give an answer. Can I insert this? Because I don't want to forget it. The thought of this today kind of brought tears to my eyes, because this is what God has done most in my life. I say most. You know what? I can probably say 50-50. God so spoils me, and I've told you guys before, there's times when I realize, man, I need some encouragement. And I love all of you. Don't get me wrong. And I'm just making this up right now. I'm fine. I don't need any flowers. I'm good. I'm teaching now. This is true, but it's for an effect regarding some other time, not now. When I get down, I will say, Lord, I need you to encourage me. And when you do it, don't let me miss it, because I'm real thick. Amen. I'm serious. You know what? You can almost put a stopwatch. I can tell you within 24 hours, he blows my mind. You might say, that's because you, psychologically, you woke up to your need, you prayed the prayer, and then you were in tune waiting for the answer because you prayed the prayer. It's the prayer that puts you in the mindset to look for something positive. Not true. Not true. Prayer, listen, prayer does not change the mind or hand of God. What? It doesn't change anything about him. Prayer changes me regarding what he wants to accomplish. Listen, God sees my heart. He knows that I need encouragement. He prompts my heart. Oh, Lord! The thought comes in, hey, he gives encouragement. God encourages. Lord, will you encourage me? Does he not know in advance before I even pray what I need? The Bible says so. Do you have any needs tonight, anybody? Did you know that God knows the need you have before you even ask him? You say, well, then why do I even have to pray for it? That's what I'm talking about. Prayer molds and shapes you to receive his answered prayer. Listen, when I pray rightly, and I'm persistent at praying rightly, my mind is changed. My attitude is changed to receive, listen, the answer. The answer might be yes. The answer might be no. And then it might be that dreaded answer that we don't want to hear is wait. And wait sometimes is manifested in a warm silence, I'll put it. It's not like the heavens are brass, but God is just not answering. And then we keep persisting. We keep asking. Church, listen. How long should we be persistent at prayer regarding an issue? How long? Until you get an answer. Well, do I pray once or twice, three times, 25 times? Listen. Remember how I told you a moment ago, God sometimes will answer my prayer and I can put a stopwatch to it? What brought tears to my eyes today in preparation for this is on the other side of that equation is I have seen God and I'm watching God answer prayer now, And this is what blew my mind. I totally forgot that God is answering prayer right now that I prayed 30, 40, or 35 years ago. So what are you saying? I'm saying now as I'm living life and I'm seeing things going on and I'm seeing family and I'm seeing ministry and seeing stuff, that I've been reminded by the Holy Spirit that these were things I prayed about 35 years ago as a new believer. And now they're happening. Can I say this without discouraging you? Apparently, God told me to wait about 35 years for the answer. Can you handle that? I don't care if you handle it or not. You're going to have to handle it. It's a fact. There's stuff that God, you've asked God about, and it's been 12 years. And I can just hear women right now saying, I've been praying for a man. How much longer do I have to wait? Believe me, it's better to wait than to get some buffoon, to get some buffoon of your own making. Wait, ladies, wait. I can't take it anymore. I gotta marry somebody. Oh no, somebody call the paramedics or something. Don't do that. No, listen, in the face of fear, we're to be persistent. Yesterday, I was in Minnesota, Monday and Tuesday, speaking to pastors there, and I was checking out of the hotel, and the concierge there at the hotel, not a Christian, you could see he was just trembling, and his daughter, 6 weeks ago, was diagnosed, she's 6 years old, diagnosed with cancer, and you pray, right? And what's going to become of that child? Only God knows. But that mother and that father, it doesn't have to be absolute devastation. It doesn't have to be. Because God is even in those issues and those situations of life. Fear can absolutely destroy you if you have nowhere to go in prayer. By the way, let me say this. I have no doubt in my mind that everyone prays eventually. Everyone prays at some point in time. Everyone. Lord, teach us to pray. I think it's within the human heart to pray. I don't care who you're thinking about. Oh, you don't know, my grandfather is such an atheist. Yeah, for now. Listen, I have found out people who are atheists, they can afford to be. They can afford to be atheists until their kidneys stop working. Or until, do you hear what I'm saying? Their heart stops. It's easy to say you're an atheist when things are going smooth. It's pretty amazing to see how many atheists cry out to God in prayer when there's a big bump in the road. I'm convinced everyone will eventually pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and this is a great thing to combat fear. Listen, fear, worry, anxiety, stress. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You say, oh man, you're digging a hole for me. Jack, how can I get out of this? It's getting worse. No, wait a minute. The word ceasing means uninterrupted. Oh, it's getting worse. You mean just pray without interruption? Yes. The word means pray without omission. Pray without ending. What does that mean? That means walk, live, go to work, go to sleep, wake up, go to the bathroom, drive an airplane, whatever you drive an airplane, fly your car. whatever you do, talk to God. Oh, Lord, this, and oh, Lord, that's a nice thing, and Lord, lead me, and what about this thing? And aren't you constantly getting information all the time about stuff? Pray. Well, do I stop? No, keep walking. Do I pull over? No, keep going. Do I close my eyes? Keep them open. Just be in the attitude of praying to God. How often? All the time. You can do this. I think you do it. I think you do. Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. I don't feel like God is near. Call upon him. He is near to those who call upon him and to all who call upon him in truth. What is that? All those who call upon him biblically. What does that mean? Not my will, but thy will be done. This is the biggest hindrance, I think, to our prayer life, is we go to God, and we might veil it and drape it, but we go to God with our agenda. I want it to go this way. And I'm going to take it to God and get it out there, have him bless it, and then I'll get it done. No. Remember, this is a parable of contrast. If a human will do this eventually, then God is ready to answer. Years ago, somebody said to me, do you have God's phone number? Do you have God's phone number? I thought they were nuts. What? Do you have God's phone number? I go, what are you talking about? This is kind of cute. Are you ready? Want to write it down? This is what the little kid said. It's Jeremiah 33:3. What? It's Jeremiah 33:3. Call Jeremiah 33:3. Go, what is that? Call to me, right? Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. How are you going to know? You won't know unless you call to him. I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out. I'm filled with fear. You know why? Because you don't know what's up. I don't know what's up, so you freak out. God says, call to me. I'll answer you. And I'll show you what's up. Isn't that neat? J.C. Ryle, the old scholar and theologian of yesteryear, listen to what he said. This is awesome. God is the one who does not sleep. He's commenting on this parable. God is the one who does not sleep. He is the one who awakens us from our sleep and prompts us to seek him and to ask of him. Isn't that great? I love that. God, does God ever wake you up in the night? Don't you? I mean, I say this respectfully. Don't you hate that? Because he doesn't wake you up like, you know, hey, let's hang out. What do you want? No, it's always with something. Have you ever been sleeping and you wake up and it's like this? You're sleeping and it's in your friend's name or somebody, boom, their name, boom. Sometimes God just wakes you up and you know, because you know how you normally wake up, it's like, oh, and you're tossing and turning, wrestling with the sheets, and it's little, oh, and you gotta get up. And then there's times when you go like this, you're just, you know what I'm talking about? Lights on. You just might as well get up and go pray. God will knock on our door. Hey, let's talk about bread. I want to talk to you. He's amazing. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. This is cool. I think this is wonderful. How should we enter prayer? Philippians 4, 6 is the New Testament counterpart to Psalm 100. Be anxious for nothing. Wow. Listen, Pastor, say that again. Be anxious for nothing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of Persistent Prayer, a look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 through 8. The Parable of Persistent Prayer is part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, as we often do on Wednesdays here on Real Radio, we'd like to extend to you an invitation to join us for Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs live on his channel at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. That's every Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. Just go to hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. And it's real easy to find after that. Just a couple of points and clicks, and you'll be joining us for Pastor Jack's Wednesday night study live on his channel, hischannel.com. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.